Well, let's put it this way. We're not in the business to build projects to agitate people. We're in the business to build projects to serve the energy needs of Upper Lynn Canal.
AP&T takes a more serious look at Shubi Lake as a possible hydroelectric power source. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more just ahead. Alaska Power and Telephone is continuing to seek grant money to explore Upper Chilkoot Lake as a hydroelectric project, but at the same time is applying for money to explore Shubi Lake as a possible hydro source. Stan Selmer is manager of AP&T's Skagway office.
Last year we applied for renewable energy grant for Connolly Lake, and while it made the cut, if you will, there were no funds to fund the grant request. So we are resubmitting the Connolly Lake application for this Phase 3 renewable energy funds. The other change in this is we're also going to include Shubi Lake on a equal basis with Connolly for grant funding.
Selmer said the inclusion or even possible separate application for Shubi Lake funding is a result of community resistance and collaboration with Lynn Canal Conservation.
From November of 08 through till now, there has been some resistance to Connolly from people that believe that the fisheries and the otherwise pristine nature of the Upper Chilkoot Valley would and could be threatened by the construction, and perhaps even just the due diligence review that would take place up in that valley. And after having met with Lynn Canal Conservation a number of times and other entities that weren't necessarily 100% behind our efforts to construct a project at Connolly, we have elevated Shubi Lake to be looked at on an equal basis with Connolly. Whether that will, you know, make a difference in the grant applications or not, or their success or failure, I don't know.
Rob Goldberg is on the board of Lynn Canal Conservation and on the Haynesboro Planning Commission. He's been the primary person working with AP&T to promote Shubi Lake as an alternative to Connolly Lake.
I've met with AP&T several times, and we've looked at maps, and we've talked about different ways to use the water from Shubi Lake to make power. It's been great working with them, and I think this shows that they have taken the information that I've provided and that they're looking at it seriously, and now they're considering Shubi Lake as a possible hydro site along with Connolly Lake.
Shubi Lake would require use of the existing submarine cable, but would not initially require a separate power plant. That's because the first phase of the project would involve drilling from the lake through the mountainside to Cascadia Valley's power plant. Again, Rob Goldberg.
Generally, it's the economics of a project that determine whether it's going to go through or not. And in looking at what it would take to develop the Connolly Lake project in the Upper Chilkoot, the design calls for a large dam set up at 2,000 feet above the valley floor up on the hillside, and about 10 miles of road to get back in there, and then a long transmission line to bring the power out. And with the Shubi Lake project, there's no dam, there's no road, and there would be no additional transmission line if they bring the water over to the Cascadia Creek drainage and run the power from the existing powerhouse.
And Selmer points out that there are unique disadvantages involved in a Shubi Lake project that would not apply to a Connolly Lake project.
Well, subcable will fail. We've had experts look at it, and you know, they tell us that the average life is 20 to 30 years. We're already 10, 12 years into a limited life. We know that they will fail. We know that the Taya Inlet is a very active area for underwater landslides.
And exploration at Shubi Lake would also be costly, according to AP&T. Selmer says any money that might come from this grant would go to continued exploration of both sites.
We are into the permitting process of Connolly Lake. Whether we would delay that while we've got some more feasibility information on Shubi, I'm not sure that I could give a 100% answer there, but we certainly want to have some money that we can do some studying at Shubi. Whether it's less expensive to actually build the project or not, it's certainly very, very difficult to get to. And it's an hour's worth of helicopter time to and from just to go down there and spend a day reviewing the area. So the the initial studies at SHUBI will be quite expensive.
Selmer says AP&T is interested in pursuing a project that the public is behind, but is also weighing other factors before choosing among the possible sites.
Well, let's put it this way. We're not in the business to build projects to agitate people. We're in the business to build projects to serve the energy needs of Upper Lynn Canal. If we can do that with SHUBI and have that be a potentially lesser expensive project and still give us the year-round energy that we need, we would hold off perhaps for a number of years before we would have to consider another project, whether that project were Connolly or whether that project were another project on SHUBI. We're not giving up on Connolly because Connolly is a very good project. I've had people looking at the roadway up in the Upper Chilkoot Valley to see what it would take, what it could take to restore that area so that we could get access in there to construct a project. And it doesn't look like it's all that daunting. There are some areas of concern, but you know, we've built projects in fish valleys before and have done so successfully. But knowing that there is resistance, you know, I think it's very prudent on our part to look at another project that doesn't have the resistance.
Goldberg says his approach to finding an alternative to Connolly Lake has always been to avoid community conflict, and he's glad that AP&T is integrating public input in their business decisions.
I'm just glad that AP&T is open to looking at all the options that we have here in the Upper Lynn Canal. Their press release said they're looking at Diabas Creek, which is also known as Sawmill Creek, and also at West Creek, which is a project that the borough of Skagway has looked at also. So, yeah, we've got lots of possibilities here, and I'm glad that APT is keeping an open mind toward all of them.
On Saturday, October 24th, Haines residents took part in what was called the most widespread day of environmental action in the planet's history. 350.org was behind the International Day of Climate Action, which was observed by 181 countries in more than 5,200 events around the world. Haines resident Matt Whitman was organizer of one of those gatherings at a residence on Mud Bay Road last weekend.
Just so you know, you're part of the largest international environmental event to have ever taken place on Earth. There's 181 countries involved in this event today, and over 5,200 events taking place, all trying to bring this message. It's 350. And so thank you for helping bring this message, and hopefully come December in Copenhagen, when the UN gets together and actually starts formulating legislation on the 350 or on climate change, this number is going to resonate loudly and will be the cap that the nations of the world will adopt that might give us a chance to sustain on this earth.
Almost 50 citizens gathered to discuss climate issues, specifically the effort to lower the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere from 390 parts per million to what scientists say is the safe upper limit, 350.
Yeah, climate change is definitely happening. We're seeing it in very profound ways all over the world now. And there's absolutely no refuting the changes that we see. And it's great to see that finally the proper attention is starting to be given to this issue. All over the world now, we're seeing this push towards actually coming up with a plan to actually do something about climate change, which is far overdue.
I'm very concerned about climate change, and I could see a real classic example of it right out in front of almost my house, and that's in the Chilkat Inlet. And what I see is that the advancement of the filling in of the inlet very rapidly, I think, in the last 10 years, and I attribute a lot of that to climate warming and the warming of the glaciers and an acceleration of the sediment.
I think it's important to kind of raise awareness for this issue because it's been around for a long time, but not too many people have thought about it. A few years back, I was in Barrow, and an old man named Simeon Puckettuck told me that he's you've seen a noticeable difference over the last 20 years of the ice pack leaving the ocean a lot faster. And that was the first time I heard about it, but I think this 350, kind of have it down to a goal, is important, and everybody should understand that this goal is important because it's the whole world that's being affected, not just, you know, specific little areas.
People in attendance included Mario Benassi, Diane Jackson, and Josh Benassi. Ron Jackson said he worked for the Washington State Department of Ecology in 1970 and remembers that at that time, the carbon dioxide level was just 315 compared to 390 today. The group not only shared their views among themselves, but took a photo that will be packaged with other photos from around the state and sent to Alaska lawmakers. The website 350.org has gathered more than 19,000 photos so far, in addition to the one from Haines, which shows the group posing with a banner about lowering CO2 emissions.
So unless we start slowing down, regardless of what we think or do, in a short period of time, things might be completely different on the face of this earth. And so, thanks for being active. Thanks for showing up.
Thank you, Matt.
This is Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. If you have an idea for a news story, send an email to news@khns.org.